From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where 2.5 years after initial charges were filed in the college admissions scandal, the first trial is just now getting underway. With us to talk about it is Kirk Carapezza from GBH's higher ed desk. He's been following the case since federal authorities in Boston first brought the scheme to light. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Arun.
So, finally here, a jury heard opening statements Monday in the fraud and bribery case involving, there was a local man there, right?
That's right. Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, it's being conducted inside the federal courtroom. Everyone's taking precautions. They're wearing masks, but keeping socially distanced. You can also stream it online. And inside the federal courtroom, prosecution and defense lawyers have been offering diverging explanations for payments or bribes two fathers made to grease their kids' admission to the University of Southern California. Now, the government says private equity investor John Wilson of Linfield and former Wynn Resorts casino executive Gamal Abdelaziz conspired with college counselor Rick Singer to embellish their children's athletic profiles and to essentially bribe USC staff. The defense argues Singer was, quote, a skilled con man who deceived these two dads, convincing them to make donations to schools and then participate in a sprawling nationwide scheme that they were not aware was unfolding at the time.
Now, but already dozens, as you know, of other parents and coaches have already pleaded guilty. This is, public knowledge. They admitted that their actions were corrupt, right?
Right. I mean, this case has been splashed over People magazine, right, because it involves celebrities, you know, CEOs, rich people. You know, since the government unveiled this nationwide scheme 2 years ago, 46 of the 57 parents and coaches have pleaded guilty. And in many ways, these parents have already been tried in the court of public opinion. Some have even served time, up to 9 months in prison. In a strange twist, I think you'll remember back in January, former President Donald Trump, a populist who, you know, promised to fight for the common man, pardoned one of his rich friends from Florida who was swept up in this investigation. But in court, the defense is arguing this jury trial isn't about any of that, but it's about these two dads, what they did, and what they knew or didn't know at the time. The defense keeps noting that Singer, Rick Singer, the mastermind, never used the term bribery to them. So therefore, that was not their mindset.
So many parents and coaches have already pleaded guilty before federal judges, and in a lot of ways, these dads have already been tried in the court of public opinion. Explain what's at stake here in this trial.
Yeah, it's a good question. I put that one to former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Cohen. He teaches criminal law at Boston College, and he says the defense is going to keep arguing that these two dads thought they were playing within the rules of a, quote, shadow system that's perpetuated by colleges in which rich people can donate to schools to help their kids get in.
And that is a strong defense from 2,000 feet.
And Cohen says this trial marks the first time our country's selective college admission system of greasing the wheels for elites has really been put to the test.
We're really going to have a jury of regular people who probably tried to get their kids into college at some point deciding what went on here.
And Cohen tells me wiretapped conversations between the parents and Rick Singer will play a crucial role in the outcome of this trial because they'll show what these men thought at the time.
They're very successful businessmen. And so the prosecution's going to want to argue that these men don't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars unless they know exactly what they're going to get for it.
So far in the first 2 days of the trial, Arun, the defense has argued these tapes are suspect because they were created after Singer decided to cooperate in the government's efforts to incriminate the parents.
Of course, as an audio journalist, my ears prick up when I hear tapes. Are we going to get to hear these tapes in court?
We will, as the tapes are entered. You know, I can't, as a reporter, I can't record the tapes in court, but at the day after they're entered as evidence, we will be able to download them and we'll be able to use them in our reporting.
And what about witnesses that we'll be hearing from in the trial?
Yeah, today we heard from a father who has already pleaded guilty to corruption charges. He testified. His name's Bruce Isaacson. He and his wife have admitted that they made a $600,000 payment to Singer's fake foundation that was then funneled to coaches at the University of Southern California. And they've admitted that they underpaid their federal income taxes by deducting that bribe as charitable contributions. On the stand, Isaacson, who's agreed to cooperate with the government's investigation like Singer, he told prosecutors that he and his wife knew what they did was corrupt. Now, in cross-examination, the defense attempted to distance Isaacson's guilty pleas from the mindset of these two other dads still fighting the charges, instead focusing on the legal practice of favoring the sons and daughters of donors in admissions. The defense has played some of the conversations between the Isaacsons, their son, and Singer. And so far, what's most striking to me in these tapes is how these students and their parents banter and so casually talk about choosing a selective private college. It's almost like they're standing around an all-you-can-eat buffet saying, you know, do you want some UCLA or do you want USC or Chapman University? It's really incredible to hear.
Kirk, thanks for this update. This is going to be fascinating to see how the trial plays out from here.
You got it, Arun. Thank you.
That's Kirk Carapeza from GBH's Higher Ed Desk. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. People across Massachusetts are heading to the polls today for preliminary elections. Boston voters will decide which two of the five major mayoral candidates will move on to the final election in November. Secretary of State Bill Galvin is predicting that about 100,000 people will vote in the city. That would translate to a roughly 25% turnout.
My conclusion is it's going to be a slightly less of a turnout than what we saw 8 years ago in 2013. The last time there was no incumbent mayor on the ballot in Boston. I wish it were higher, but that's my best guess of what's going to occur.
If you're a Boston voter and haven't made it to the polls yet, they're open until 8 o'clock this evening. In other news, Governor Charlie Baker is activating the National Guard to help students get to school in areas hit hardest by the bus driver shortage. 90 members of the Guard will train to operate 10 passenger vans. They'll be dispatched to Chelsea, Lawrence, Lowell, and Lynn, all cities that have reached out to the state for help. Baker called the bus driver shortage growing pains as schools reopen.
There are a bunch of communities that have said they're interested in this, and we're glad to be able to help because it's important.
Baker says the program will be funded with federal money earmarked for COVID relief programs. And finally, an infectious disease specialist at Boston Children's Hospital says COVID vaccinations for children under the age of 12 may not happen if the FDA decides that the risk outweighs the benefits. Dr. Rick Malley, who's also a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, says ongoing clinical trials in kids have revealed some rare side effects like heart inflammation. Malley cautions that no one should assume that vaccine approval for use in young children is imminent until the FDA determines vaccines are safe, well-tolerated, and effective.
But what we really need to make sure of is that as we lower the age of the child, that we don't end up seeing that the safety profile of the vaccine is different. And the FDA has to evaluate that with extreme caution.
Dr. Malley says that health officials in the United Kingdom recently recommended against widespread vaccination of children ages 12 to 15 until more information about potential risks becomes available. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Before we go, I want to tell you about Nova Now, a new biweekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Now is more critical than ever to distinguish fact from fiction and find science-based answers to the most pressing questions of our time. Subscribe to Nova Now wherever you get your podcasts.